your host, Coach Danielle McCartan. You can follow her work on Twitter at Coach McCartan. That's at Coach McCartan.
Hey, girl. Whoa, now.
Hey, you're listening to 60 Minute Overtime, Spring 2017. Episode 4. Today is January, 29th, 2017. I'm your host, Danielle McCartan. That's Luke Bryan. We are 1 week away from the big game, from the Super Bowl. Why am I playing Luke Bryan? Because he's going to be singing the national anthem of Super Bowl 51. Coming to you from Houston, Texas. He's not a Texas guy, but he's a Georgia guy. And he sings country music. Close enough, right? Follow my work, prosportsrundown.com. Twitter, at Coach McCartan on the last name. YouTube, search Coach Space McCartan. SoundCloud.com/Coach McCartan. On demand, iTunes podcast, search Coach Space McCartan. Tune in radio, that's under the show's name, 60 Minute Overtime. Play.google.com, search Coach McCartan. And big up to you guys on Facebook Live right now, Facebook.com/Coach McCartan. And those of you guys on Periscope, at Coach McCartan from there. And that's also streaming on my Twitter. So if you go onto Twitter right now, Coach McCartan, you'll find that there. Of course, it's me and you. So the phone number to call in is 201-825-1234. I have a couple controversial things today. Well, not really controversial, but what are your thoughts? I want to garner your thoughts on the Carmelo and the Knicks. I'm wearing my Knicks t-shirt today. Danilo Gallinari, the Italian, who has now, since in this trade, actually been traded to the Denver Nuggets years ago. Drama and unrest in the NBA is starting to sound like an episode of The Real Housewives of the NBA, or The Real Players of the NBA, if you will. You won't hear this anywhere else. I'll guarantee you this one. Jets linebacker Darren Lee went on a massive Twitter tirade on Friday morning. Massive. Like Kanye West massive. So you're going to hear from Carmelo himself from ESPN. And then my interviews, little snippets with Otis Anderson, Howard Cross, Mike Teal, and Mike Riley. And don't forget, your phone calls are just as important as those. So I figured we can kick off the show,
especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world. Please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base.
This
and will be performed
Whitney
by the
Houston's
Orchestra
national
under
anthem.
The direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung
considered
by
one of the best of all time,
Whitney Houston.
I'm going to play this one in full. This is from 1991, Tampa. Giants playing the Bills. The onset of the Persian Gulf War. Remember, though, this was pre-recorded in 1991 even, and that was a thing back then. So, this, again, like I said, just got done saying, this was the Giants versus the Bills. And I actually talked to a couple Giants players that were there on that team watching that live. And we'll start with Otis Anderson, the running back, the MVP of that Super Bowl. And here's what he had to say about the Whitney Houston National Anthem.
National Anthem, it was a surprise to all of us. So when she walked out in that in her jumpsuit or either track suit or whatever you want to call it, everybody started whispering, "That's Whitney, that's Whitney." It was like a rush of words running down, everybody turning, and we were all like, "Oh my God, it is Whitney," because, you know, technically I'd never seen Whitney in person other than I heard who she was. But to see her, and even though she was a far away from me, but just to see her on the field singing, breathtaking. And you're right, never, ever duplicate it, ever.
Will ever be in the future,
no,
ever.
No,
that's funny. You guys were all kind of starstruck on the sideline.
Yeah, we all were. And it gave you a lot more more will and energy to really want to go out there and really do the right thing and try to win it, because Whitney Singer, it's your national anthem.
And she's a Jersey girl.
Yeah, right. So. Okay. So it all fit in what we were trying to accomplish, and thank God it did work out that way.
And you did accomplish it.
That was Otis Anderson. He's such a character. He was talking about how, imagine if you're playing in the Super Bowl, you're a Giants player playing in the Super Bowl, you know, from New York. Whitney Houston, who's from New Jersey, gets up there and starts singing the national anthem. Apparently, it sounded like it was a secret that they didn't even know who was going to be singing it until they were out there doing it, watching it. And this is Howard Cross, Giants Super Bowl winning tight end, one of the last good tight ends the Giants have ever had.
Super Bowl 25 was a thrilling upset of the Bills. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you?
It was pretty cool. I don't think people realize that it was one of the first times our country was into a national conflict, and I was shocked that we could be in a conflict. Mm-hmm. And when Whitney Houston comes out and sings the national anthem and everybody's crying, made it for a special event, it's kind of what really kicked off what the Super Bowl is today.
Did you cry?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Guy's like 7 feet tall. He cried during the Whitney Houston national anthem. So that's kind of cool. Getting some insight from the Super Bowl winning Giants, 91 Giants. Stars, really. Otis Anderson and Howard Cross. Howard Cross took the more historical path to that. And Otis Anderson took the more in the moment approach to that question that I had asked both of them. But, you know, in my opinion, though, and this is probably not the popular opinion, I talked about this last year on air, I don't think that the Whitney Houston anthem was the best of all time. I'm going to play you a snippet now from the Jennifer Hudson national anthem. This is from 2009. Raymond James Stadium, also in Tampa. Okay, and you're listening to Jennifer Hudson in 2009 from Tampa, Florida. Looks like that was the Steelers and the Cardinals Super Bowl. in my opinion, that is the best national anthem of all time. So let's see how Luke Bryan stacks up against those heavy hitter women next week, next Sunday. About this time next Sunday, Luke Bryan will probably be going through his soundcheck for the national anthem of Super Bowl 51. I mean, I like Luke Bryan. I like his songs, but I really just don't think he's going to knock it out of the park quite like Whitney Houston and Jennifer Hudson. Numbers one and two, best of all time. My rank is Jennifer Hudson number one. Whitney Houston is number two for me, especially since Jennifer Hudson sang it live. Especially. So that's my quick take on that. I figured we could start the show off with the national anthem, and what better than the best two national anthems of all time.
Okay, what the f***?
So Friday morning, I wake up, and I see a string of tweets from the Jets rookie linebacker, Darren Lee. You will not find this story anywhere else. This is a me exclusive. This is a 60-minute overtime, Danielle McCartan exclusive story here. Ready for this one? Friday morning, puts it around 4:35 a.m. Eastern time. Darren Lee tweets, and by the way, like I said, he's a rookie linebacker. Rookie on the New York Jets. He launched a full-fledged, racially charged Twitter tirade. And if anybody follows Kanye West in his own tirades, this might sound pretty familiar to you. So, and by the way, the update of this, I'll tell you the update real quick. The update of this is going to be that when I looked this morning, he has deleted all of his tweets back to 2012. He deleted 5 years worth of tweets after this tirade from Friday morning, 2 days ago. Lucky for you guys, though, I was pretty quick. I screenshotted them real quick. I screenshotted more of the more interesting ones because, you know what? There were so many of them, and they were coming so fast and so furious that I couldn't really keep up, and I actually had to go to work, so I couldn't really keep up with all of them. But I'm going to give you the highlights. I'm going to give you the highlight reel of Darren Lee's Twitter tirade. Here we go. First tweet was sent within the 4 a.m. hour. Quotes, capital letters, man with six N's, I'm heated. Then he had three red angry faces after that. You know, the emojis. Exactly 5:55 a.m. He tweets, white people, you can nay-nay all you want. Still doesn't mean you understand us. You know the song. Whip. Nay-nay. Okay. So some guy responds to him and says to him, trying to help, his name is Andrew Clark, says to him, we need to understand each other. It's not white versus black. It's ignorant versus ignorant. Everyone needs to understand that. And that's at the Clark 272727. Just trying to help, right? So maybe half an hour later, he gets on and he says, Darren Lee, that is, 6:21 a.m., he says, guys, I'm not ranting. I'm keeping it real like Donnie Trumpet. Some people were wondering if he was hacked by someone named Donnie Trumpet. That could be one theory, right? You would think that, right? Because you're putting, first of all, Donnie Trumpet is a unknown rap star, well, rapper at least. So you're thinking, okay, maybe this guy, Donnie Trumpet, hacked him. Well, no, because he spelled Donnie wrong. So in my opinion, this is still Darren Lee saying this. D-O-N-N-Y is how he spelled it. It's actually D-O-N-N-I-E. Okay. So this other guy, at jhoff10, responds and says to him, if there was any doubt that the Jets locker room was a dysfunctional mess last season, just go look at DLeeMG8 tweets. That's Darren Lee. So Darren Lee sees this, takes complete exception to this, and responds with, quotes, LMFAO with like a million O's. Bro, stop. I'm going to piss myself from laughing. End quote. So that Jay Hoff 10 writes back, I can't wait to hear the news later. Jets fine Darren Lee $15,000 for racist Twitter rant. And he responded back to that and he goes, LOL, yeah, Jets fine away, with the hysterical laughing emoji. So as a coach of young athletes, right, I'm sitting here. We always profess to these kids that you shouldn't be tweeting bad things. You know, you never want anything to come back in writing to haunt you. You know, things like that. So I stepped in and I said something along the lines of, this was my direct quote. I said, tweeted to him, I said, don't put something out there that you're going to regret later. Let your play do the talking for you. You had a tremendous rookie season. So he responds to me, quotes me, and responds to me, quote, our president said whatever he wanted and won, period. Hop, period. Off, period. So I responded, I'm just trying to help. And then I tagged his mom. So that was that. I mean, it went on for a little bit longer. I had to get up and go to work. But I asked him three times during that period to come on this show, 60-minute overtime, to explain his point of view. Because we all know Twitter has a 140-character limit, right? How could you possibly get your thoughts out in a 140-character limit, right? My three requests were completely ignored by a guy that was there, you know, reading them in real time. Someone on Periscope just said, these guys are so out of touch and don't realize their harm that their words do. The guy has 120,000 Twitter followers at this point in time. So you're right. He doesn't know the extent of his words. He doesn't know what those words could possibly ignite among the Jets fan base. This is Darren Lee tweeting some racially charged tweets that have since been deleted. Actually, all the tweets since 2012 have been deleted. So, in my opinion, no, he was not hacked. That's the typical go-to when people tweet things that are not correct, politically correct. They say, oh, I was hacked. This guy wasn't hacked. There was something going on with Darren Lee that morning. What was he talking about, first of all? His tweets have no concise, cohesive argument. What was he trying to prove? I mean, these are all questions that I wanted to ask him. However, he didn't respond to my response to come on this show and to talk about it. So what was he trying to prove? His arguments didn't make sense. From what I had gathered, it was something about black versus white, something about President Trump saying that he wants to... No, something about President Trump saying what he wants without repercussions, but Darren Lee can't. I'm not sure, but Darren Lee, let me check you real quick. You are, or just finished your rookie season in the NFL. You have no right to be talking about this kind of heavily weighted stuff on Twitter over the course of 2 hours on a Friday morning at 6 a.m. If you have a real issue, maybe you should take the Colin Kaepernick route and explain it to the media. Explain it to the press what your issue really is. Because right now, you just look like an idiot. You just look like an idiot. And you are, by the way, entering your second year of the season. No team wants to deal with this drama, buddy. You're a great player, like I said to you. And you answered me. You are a great player. Let your play do the talking. Right? So, now I know someone with more immediate access to him, himself, Darren Lee, and to the Jets is going to pick up this story. I know that. It's happened to me. But if you aren't going to let me do the interview, everybody, you know what you can do? You can at least give me the credit for it. You can at least give me the credit for it. You understand that? You understand that? All you Jets beat writers? Anybody going to be interviewing Darren Lee? This is my story. If you're going to take it, you're going to give me the credit for it. That's right, because it's happened before, and I'm tired of it. So you can give me the credit at Coach MCCARTAN. I'm Danielle McCartan, and my website is prosportsrundown.com. Taking the Falcons and the points as my lock for the week. Oh, boy. We'll get into X's and O's with the Super Bowl next week. I'm not sure. I haven't done enough research yet. He will be on Tom with him. Yeah, Tom from Dumont. That's my dad on WFAN, Francesa. And just because you mentioned that, listen, I was in the Final Four to get to the Super Bowl on the WFAN contest. His question to me was the following. He fumbled the question the first time. He reworded it. I asked for clarification. Still didn't get exactly what I wanted. Freaked out about at what point the 30-second timer was going to be started at. And my question was, and I still don't understand it. People are still commenting on my Facebook that they don't even understand it. What I gathered and what I garnered was, name, and by the way, you have 30 seconds, name two of the three Hall of Fame quarterbacks that started in exactly three Super Bowl games with at least one touchdown pass. Well, I mean, I just came out with three names. I came out with Aikman, Elway, Montana. He goes, no, sorry, done. So it couldn't be Brady, because Brady started in six. This will be his sixth Super Bowl. He was looking for somebody within that has started exactly three. So I think I found the right answer. I think I came up with the right answer. One of them, in my opinion, the right answer, which, by the way, we don't know the right answer. So, Monzo, if you're listening, could you please give us the answer? But I found that three Hall of Fame quarterbacks that started in exactly three Super Bowls were Aikman. Definitely Aikman, right? Bob Greasy and Fran Tarkenton. Those are the guys that I came up with after the fact. Still don't know if it's right or not. But needless to say, regardless, I am not going to the Super Bowl. But that's good news for everybody listening, because you guys are going to get me next Sunday. I have an interview with Henrik Lundqvist coming up in 2 weeks' time on Saturday night. So I will bring that to you guys too. And that's that. So I'm not going to the Super Bowl. You guys get me next Sunday. And a lot of people in Periscope are happy about that. So so Carmelo Anthony. Let's talk a little bit of basketball, because I really want to get into X's and O's, Falcons, Patriots next week. Let's talk a little bit about Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks. Okay? So this whole controversy started with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson's close friend, Charlie Rosen, first stated that Carmelo has, quote, outlived his usefulness in New York. And that was on a FanRag Sports article. As expected, Anthony Carmelo did not have such nice things to say about that comment. And he said, quote, if they feel like my time in New York is over, I guess that's a conversation we should have. If they want to come and talk to me, I'm around them guys every day. I don't want this to be going back and forth with me and management, because it's really nothing. This is what Carmelo had to say about this saga in New York. This is a round robin sort of thing with a couple of beat reporters surrounding his locker. It's from ESPN.com.
It can be. I mean, it's, you know, you got to deal with that, even though, you know, I try not to, read it, and everywhere you go, even if you don't hear about it, somebody's telling you about it. Somebody's saying something. So it can be mentally, draining, mentally fatiguing.
With that in mind, everything that's been going on, does it take you any kind of guy to make it in New York City?
Yeah, Mellow. Yeah. You gotta be cut from a different cloth.
He's not laughing.
To take this day in and day out, and to deal with this all day long, every day. You gotta take the good with the bad. I don't know how I do it, but I do it.
You're close to Kobe, and I know you talk a lot to Kobe. Is there anything that you've taken from him in terms of your relationship with Phil and just how to deal with things like this?
No, not at all. Man, I think we was in totally two different situations. He was actually playing, for Phil, and Phil is in the front office and managing right now. So, I try to just come to work and just play, and I don't like to deal with, all the nonsense.
So dealing with the nonsense, whether or not you're going to deal with the nonsense, you're going to be around it. You play in New York, Carmelo. So I looked into this. Now, if New York, if the Knicks were to trade him, Carmelo would have to waive his no-trade clause, which he currently has no intentions of doing, according to last reports. So, all right, goodbye. he's currently, right now, averaging 22.2 points a game, 6 rebounds in 41 games. He has a shooting percentage of 43%. Now, my question to Carmelo, and I'm going to flesh this out. I started writing an article the other day. I just didn't get to finish it. So, on prosportsrundown.com, why would Carmelo Anthony want to even stay with the Knicks? Okay, so he was dealt to the Knicks in 2011. It was a blockbuster trade. It involved 3 teams, 12 players, and $6 million in cash. And that sent Carmelo Anthony, Mr. Marquee, from Denver to where he wanted to be all along in New York. The deal ended a season-long trade saga involving Denver's all-star forward and sent him where he had publicly stated he wanted to play. That's from ESPN. The other one was from SB Nation. So Anthony and the Knicks were lawfully wedded on Monday, February 21st, 2011. Now, after a 5-year tumultuous relationship, Knicks Nation is demanding a divorce from Carmelo Anthony. The Knicks have a lot of cap space incoming over the next 2 years, with or without Melo. Thanks for that. Their relationship now between, you know, between Carmelo, the Knicks, and the fans has hit a new low. On Friday night, the home crowd at Madison Square Garden rain boos and jeering cheers down onto number 7. And he was caught by cameras by saying, "I don't want it. I don't want it." Why would Carmelo Anthony want to continue to play in New York? Number one, I have right now 4 reasons. Ready? Number one, it's a losing atmosphere. The Knicks will have only made the playoffs twice during Anthony's first 5 years. And in his 6th year, the Knicks are sitting at 21-27, 11th in the Eastern Conference. They're presumably not going to make the playoffs again. So 2 times out of 6 times, they're not going to make the playoffs. Actually, the NBA, I think this is the 2nd year under it, expanded their playoff format. So more teams make the playoffs in the NBA now. And the Knicks still can't get to the playoffs with Carmelo Anthony. Basically, every team makes the playoffs with this new expansion and this for ratings and everything else. So they've expanded the playoff system, and the Knicks can't make the playoffs. Number one, if you're on a losing team, why would you want to stay? Number two, this is an atmosphere of chaos. There have been 4 different head coaches that have joined and exited the Knicks head coach carousel during his tenure in New York. Number one, Mike D'Antoni. Number two, Mike Woodson. Number three, Jeff Fisher. Number four, Kurt Rambis, although he was an interim. Currently, they are led by their 5th head coach in almost as many years, Jeff Hornacek. This undoubtedly has been an unstable, chaotic environment. How could any player succeed under 5 different ideologies, right? Number three, a lack of confidence by the fan base, and more importantly, by the coaching staff and the organization of the New York Knicks. Anthony was not voted to fill a roster spot on the 2017 All-Star team this year. Did you know that? He told the New York Daily News that he was, quote, a little disappointed, end quote. Throughout the past week, he's been booed on his home court. He's been ostracized in the media. Why would you want to stay here, Carmelo Anthony? Number four, the Knicks have no plan. Should the Knicks build around Kristaps Porzingis? Of course they should. Then why did they bring in Derrick Rose? What are the optics surrounding Joakim Noah's 4-year, $72 million contract after this embarrassment? Did you see him? He shot a foul shot, and it was an air ball. I'm sorry. If you're making $72 million over 4 years, you don't have to make every single foul shot, but you should. You can't shoot air balls. I mean, you are... How tall is Joakim Noah? Can someone look that up? So how tall are you that you can't even hit the backboard on a foul shot? Of course Melo has contributed to this. It's a culture of let's not play defense. Carmelo Anthony does not play defense. Right? I mean, as a coach, I'm going to take the coaching perspective here. And as a young player, you are taught to box out, pick and roll. When you pick somebody, you have to bang them. You have to bang them so that they can't get to the guy that's running by you. Can someone please tweet me a video, a GIF, some sort of media showing me how Carmelo Anthony has laid a successful pick, rebounded a ball, rebound outlet middle a ball. Has he blocked any shots? So, Carmelo Anthony, by the Knicks getting rid of Carmelo Anthony, they're going to create a new culture surrounding that team. Would you rather build a team around Carmelo Anthony or around Kristaps Porzingis? I think every single person, the answer would be Kristaps Porzingis. By releasing him, he can start another part of his career. Yes, he's going to get his money. Yes, he's a very high-paid player. Yes, he's an okay, good, even offensive player. He scores a lot of points. But like they always say, the old adage, defense wins championships. And if you can't play defense, I don't think you're ever going to win. So the Chicago Bulls are having some drama of their own. This is like the Real Housewives of the NBA. Like I said before at the top of the broadcast, it's the Knicks, the Bulls, the Cavaliers. We'll talk about in a minute. So Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls had some critical things to say about their team after their 119-114 loss to the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday night. As a result, Wade and Butler are benched for the start of the game on Friday night as disciplinary action. After Wednesday night's loss, Wade stated, quote, "I don't know if people care enough. It just doesn't mean enough to guys around here, and it pissed me off. I'm 35 years old. I have 3 championships. It shouldn't hurt me more than it hurts these young guys. They have to want it. I can look at Jimmy and say Jimmy is doing his job. I think Jimmy can look at me and say Dwayne is doing his job. I don't know if we can keep going down the line and be able to say that," end quote. Wayne was not the only one critical of his teammates after that game. Butler chimed in by saying, quote, "If you don't come in, curse word, expletive, pissed off every game, any game, if you're not pissed off that you lost, something's wrong. This is your job. This is what you're supposed to love to do," end quote. Now, you can see that they're coming from a place of concern, right? There's a lack of effort on their team. That's what you can read into that. However, you would think that the Bulls are at the bottom of the barrel in the NBA. They're actually not. If the season ended today, the Bulls would make the playoffs. They're 7th in the Eastern Conference at 23-25 is their record. So if the season ended today, the Bulls are a playoff team. So to question the work ethic, to question the fortitude of your teammates is a great thing. However, I wouldn't do it in front of the media without having spoken about it behind closed doors. That's a passive-aggressive way to get to whoever you're trying to get to. You should be a man. You know, you've won 3 champions. You're 35 years old. Be a man and go up to the players that you have problems with. Be a leader. Be a leader. And go up to them and flush out what you need to say. You don't go do it through the media and have it blow up in your face, because that's exactly what happened. Fellow Bulls player Rajon Rondo, formerly of the Celtics, responded on Instagram with his frustration toward Wade and Butler's comments. Now, let's take to social media. That's a great idea, Rajon Rondo. A few important lines from that, from his post were accompanied. First of all, he put up a picture of him, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett in the Celtics. And part of his quote was, "My vets would never go to the media. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought it every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was practice or a game," end quote. So you can read the whole entire post on his Facebook, his Instagram account, at Rajon Rondo. However, you've taken an immature way to deal with a problem. You're responding with a more immature way to answer the problem. My vets. Actually, Rajon Rondo, those are not your vets anymore. You do not play for them or with them or for the Celtics anymore. Your vets, actually, are Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. There's a broken locker room happening in the Bulls clubhouse, or in and around the Bulls organization. They are not the worst team in the NBA, believe it or not, like I just said. And like I said, if the playoffs started today, they would make them. But my prediction is this team is going to fall apart at the end of the season or towards the back end of the season. They have zero camaraderie, zero trust in each other. They are clearly, evidently not playing as a team. So Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, you know, there's not many guys on a basketball team. So if this happens maybe on a baseball team or a football team where the rosters are, you know, more expanded, these guys see each other. They deal directly with each other every single day. Now, if you're a kicker in the NFL, you really have no dealings with, and Nick Folk has said it, you've heard it on here, you really have no dealings with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and things like that. You have your own meetings, your own separate breakout sessions. But if you are a basketball player, you have direct dealings with these people every single day. And this is an issue that needs to be resolved quickly and swiftly. Because if not, like I said, the Bulls will fall apart at the end of the season due to their zero camaraderie, zero trust in each other. And remember, everybody, there's no I in team. And even if you are sitting there going, well, there's a me, you still have an issue. So, speaking of effort and the lack of effort on a basketball court, did you hear that LeBron James needs more playmakers? Yeah, LeBron James is saying that the Cleveland Cavaliers need more playmakers on the team. So this is his quote. He said, it's like when you don't have bodies. It's tough. The expletive grind of the regular season. We are a top-heavy team. We have a top-heavy team. We top-heavy as expletive. Beep. To me, it's me, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. It's top heavy, end quote. Well, that was first of all, very Socratic and Nostradamus-like of LeBron James. That was a great nugget of information that they are 1, 2, 3, 4 times that he said they are a top heavy team. He also said he's, quote, not singling anybody out. I'm not, end quote. See, I have a huge problem with this. Newsflash, LeBron James, you are the playmaker. I don't know if you know that or not. Let me say that again. LeBron James, you are the playmaker on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's why they pay you. That's why you make almost $31 million this season alone. You need to step up and you need to be the playmaker. There are five people that play on a basketball court at once. If you are on the court with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, what more do you want? What more could you possibly want? You, another one who doesn't play defense. Right? You are another one that doesn't play defense. Why do you want more people on your team? For a deeper bench? Why? So you can sit on the bench and play water bottle flips during a game on the court? Your team is first in the Eastern Conference. You are the top seed in the playoffs if the season ended today. You need to step up, LeBron James. You need to be the playmaker. Why do you want this? Presumably so you can sit out, get more rest time. You're the king. Why would you want to sit? Why would you want to sit on the bench? Aren't you a competitor? Who wants to come out in a game? I got 19 people on Periscope right now. If you are playing in a game, 20 now, do you ever want to come out of a game? As a regular athlete, never mind being a professional athlete, nobody wants to come out of a game. You should get out there and do your job. You should stop whining, LeBron James. You are in first place. And you have a cast of characters, including Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and J.R. Smith, for crying out loud. Michael Jordan was playing all out until he was 42 years old on the Wizards. So you cannot use your age as an excuse. In an age where people are biometrics and put on diet plans and this, and you know, you have the world at your fingertips to be a better athlete. Look at Tom Brady. Changed his entire diet. How old is Tom Brady? 35? How old is he? Right? So he is doing everything the right way. Why do you need to rest your body? Football is more demanding than basketball. And again, if you want to compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan was playing until he was 42 years old on the Wizards. So you, King James, can go pout in the corner. And if you really don't like the way it's going, you've done it before, you can leave Cleveland. Because you've done it before, right?
Overtime hurry up offense with Danielle McCartan.
Now in men's tennis, Roger Federer this morning defeated Rafael Nadal in the Australian Open. Ended around 8 a.m. this morning in the epic five-set battle. Federer claimed his 18th Grand Slam title. I believe it was his fifth Australian Open title. Federer climbed back from being down 1-3 in the fifth. He won the Open 6-4, 3-6, 6-1, 3-6, 6-3. All-time tennis legend at Billie Jean King said on Twitter, "There is a reason Roger Federer is the GOAT. He showed us again tonight at the Australian Open that true champions always find a way to win. Hashtag RF18. Now to women's tennis, Serena Williams defeated sister Venus Williams for the Australian Open women's title on Saturday. Serena came out victorious in just two sets, winning 6-4, 6-4. With her seventh Open title, she has now passed Steffi Graf for the most major titles in the Open era. Quote, this is a Venus quote now. Venus says, quote, that's my little sister, guys. I've been there right with you. Some of them I lost right there against you. I guess that's weird, but it's been an awesome thing. Your win has always been my win. I think you know that. You mean the world to me. Now Serena says back, quote, Venus deserves an incredible round of applause. She's made an amazing comeback. I definitely think she'll be standing here next year. I don't like the word comeback. She never left. End quote. Moving on to the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks were off last night, but they played Friday night and beat the Hornets at the Garden 110-107. Kemba Walker of the losing Hornets led the way with 31 points, 5 assists, and 10 rebounds. The Brooklyn Nets, moving over to a different borough and with Brooklyn. Brooklyn Nets, they're looking for only their 10th win of the season. The lowly Nets did not get it last night in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. Final score of that game was 129-109. Karl Anthony Towns of the Timberwolves had 37 points and 13 rebounds on the night. So currently, the NHL is on the All-Star break. So the New Jersey Devils Thursday lost at home against the Washington Capitals to a score of 5-2. The New York Rangers on Wednesday lost also at home to the Philadelphia Flyers 2-0. And the New York Islanders Friday at home beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-1. There's lots of hockey on today, NBC4. The Central and Pacific Leagues will square off at 3:30, followed by the Metropolitan and Atlantic League games at 4:30. This is the All-Star weekend. The championship, the All-Star Championship, will be played at 5:30 p.m. Again, that's on today on NBC4. That's Eastern time, by the way. I'm Danielle McCartan, and that was your 60-minute overtime hurry-up offense.
I'm Dylan Betances, pitcher for the New York Yankees, and you're listening to Danny McCartan on 60 Minutes Overtime.
Last night, I attended a fundraiser at Brew House in Pearl River, New York, with my new cameraman, Matt Sichtermans. Need an event filmed, a video edited? Go to msfilmspro.com to get in contact with Matt. He's putting together, probably right now, my sit-down interview with former Yankees, Red Sox, Padres, Rays, and Tigers former catcher John Flaherty. Yankees fans most know him for his analytical role with the YES Network currently right now. So that interview is obviously not ready right this second, but it will be ready, and I can't wait to play that for you. We talked about a lot of different things, including Jorge Posada. Does he actually really need to be considered for the MLB Hall of Fame? Are the Yankees retiring too many numbers too fast? Also, we talked about his career, obviously, his career in the YES booth, behind the plate at Yankee Stadium, being in the same exact spot that Yogi Berra and Thurman Munson once squatted behind the plate. What was that like for him? And a bunch of other things. So that's going to be coming. If you can't wait till next Sunday, you can go to my YouTube page. It'll be up soon, I promise you. YouTube, go to youtube.com. In the search bar, you type in coach space MCCARTAN. And you'll find that there as soon as possible. Also, if you subscribe on iTunes or any of the other platforms or even on my SoundCloud account, you will find it there as soon as I could possibly put that up. Trying to keep control, pressure's taking we have reached the halfway point of today's content. In next week's Super Bowl, Lady Gaga, who are you are listening to right now, will be the Pepsi halftime performer. So you're probably going to hear this song called Perfect Illusion. It's her newest. My hope is that she's going to perform a medley of her top songs. I mean, look, she's got Bad Romance, Poker Face, Born This Way, Applause, Just Dance, Edge of Glory, Telephone, Love Game, Alejandro, You and I. Those are all of her top songs. I am so pumped for Lady Gaga to be doing the halftime show. I just can't wait. Everybody loves Lady Gaga. She is so appealing to everybody, right? So those of you who have been loyal listeners on my show have known that I've wanted this since she killed the national anthem performance in last year's Super Bowl. I cannot wait to hear what Lady Gaga is going to come out with next week. I am so, so happy. Not to mention, she's a very good role model for Italian Americans everywhere.
And you're listening to the 60 Minute Overtime on WRPR.
All right, so transitioning to the NFL, the Pro Bowl tonight. Who cares, right? Should I just crumple up this paper now? The Pro Bowl tonight is going to be at 7:50 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, from the Orlando Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida. Now, by show of hands, who actually watches this game? Okay, great. No one actually puts effort into watching this game, right? So what they've done this year, and we've talked, and the NFL, listen, this year for the first time, they've introduced a skills competition leading up to the game. Now, let's hear from when I interviewed Mike Teal. He's a former Seahawks quarterback. This was 9 months ago. I asked him how the NFL can improve the Pro Bowl game and increase listenership and viewership. Do you have any suggestions? Because we saw that, I think it was 7 Patriots all of a sudden got injuries and couldn't attend the Pro Bowl. Darrelle Revis hurt his elbow, couldn't play in the Pro Bowl. Do you have any suggestions to amend it, to restore somewhat of its honor?
Not really.
No.
Not really.
That's okay. That's okay.
The way the NFL would be calling the lifespan of a career of a player, the most important thing for a player is really his health and his body. And if playing a Pro Bowl could jeopardize that, then I think they're not gonna play. And with the way the NFL seasons have become, the physical demand of, you know, what the players have to go through, mm-hmm, for 16 weeks, it's hard, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later to turn around and say, hey, we want you to play in an All-Star game now and go out and play real hard. It's just, right, I don't think it's realistic.
So that was Mike Teal talking about the wear and tear of the body. I mean, last year we had 7 Patriots that were named to the All-Star team here, the Pro Bowl team, and they all of a sudden, I'm sick, you know, like from Mean Girls, right? So the wear and tear on the body, he definitely understands. But Mike Riley, who's a former linebacker for both the Cardinals and the Steelers, he had an alternative suggestions. And this is from 9 months ago. I feel, in my own opinion, that the Pro Bowl has lost somewhat of its importance, I would say, because, you know, I'm looking at it this year. There's 7 Patriots that automatically came down with injuries that couldn't play with it. And then you see Rob Gronkowski on all the shows leading up to the Super Bowl. Darrelle Revis automatically gets, like, I think he said, an elbow injury. So do you think, or do you have any suggestions, or do you think it's fine but or to amend the Pro Bowl? Nobody did.
I think as soon as maybe
they make it less of a competition and more of a celebration of the players. That might be a welcoming change. Maybe some sort of skills event where it's competitive but also fun, and you show off guys' abilities and the different positions might have different challenges they can do, or even it could be things with fat personalities. NFL, there's tons of guys with great personalities that people want to talk to, so I think it should be less of just a normal game and do something different with the cool players and the obviously all the fan favorites, the fan voting, to dive into a little bit more of these guys' personalities, see who they are as people, and maybe not even make an athletic sense, maybe any type of that, but then, as you saw a spelling bee with your 10 favorite offensive line, I think that was kind of funny, it could be something other than football too, or football as well, but I think if it's more of a celebration, I think people would be a lot more excited about it.
I think so too, and then I saw in one of the interviews that Gronkowski cited the fact that to play in the AFC Championship game and to get banged up, he said he didn't leave his house until that Wednesday or that Tuesday following the game. And he cited, physical limitations for that. So I think that's a great solution. I would definitely tune into that.
Yeah, absolutely, because guys clearly don't want to play very hard in it because, the game doesn't really mean much other than, if one team wins, they have a little bit more of a pay bump. But,
right. Yeah, that's cool. I like that spelling idea. Spelling bee idea. That's cool.
Maybe different positions can do different things. Anything along those lines can be creative and fun.
So this year, the Pro Bowl has become more of a celebration. They have listened. We talked. They listened. For the first time, like I said, they introduced a skills competition leading up to the game. Some of the most notable events, including receivers catching balls dropped by drones. I'm sure you've seen the video of Odell Beckham doing that. Quarterbacks trying to hit moving targets, a dodgeball game. That was kind of cool. That was by far the most competitive of them all. I retweeted the punter from the Raiders, King. I forget, Marquette King. He actually punted a football, sprinted down the field, and caught his own punt. How cool is that? And then I don't know if you saw the retweet I had this morning at Coach McCartan on Twitter. Marquette King kicked the ball up in the air near a basketball hoop. Odell Beckham caught it and slammed it home. Alley-oop off a punt with a football. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people want to see. However, they are going to stick with the game format. Tonight, the game is at 7:50 Eastern on ESPN. Now, as an incentive, they're trying to incentivize these players. So first of all, and the fans. So first of all, by trying to involve more fans, they moved the game from very expensive Hawaii to the contiguous United States, Orlando, Florida. And as an incentive to participate and play hard for the players, each member of the winning team is going to receive $64,000. And yes, they're handing out participation trophies to the losers. They're going to get $32,000. Right? I mean, come on. Talk about participation trophies. So some of the players that are going to be playing in the game, let's see, DeMarco Murray, Titans, Alex Smith, Chiefs, Jarvis Landry. Oh, those all have asterisks. I'm not sure why. Maybe they're not even playing. Let's see, Andy Dalton, Jay Ajayi. This is the AFC side. Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce. AFC defense, Khalil Mack, Cameron Wake, Von Miller, Zach Brown. Bills, Aqib Talib, Eric Weddle, Dustin Colquitt. On the NFC side, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, of course, Drew Brees, Devontae Freeman, Odell Beckham from the Giants. There are no Jets that made this roster, by the way. Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham, Janoris Jenkins from the Giants. I believe Landon Collins as well from the Giants. Johnny Hecker, punter for the Rams. Matt Prater, Lions. Dwayne Harris, special teamer.
you know, a couple of players have already been replaced. Derek Carr, LeSean McCoy, Amari Cooper, Jordan Reed. So if you're interested, if this is your thing, is anyone still going to be watching this game or attending the game in Orlando? Not really sure. But if it's your thing, it's on at 7:50 p.m. I'll probably check it out just for a little while, just to see. Someone just said, nope. All right, so now, you know, as we all know, love your show, dear. Thank you. Thank you. Now, as you know, everybody has one of the storylines leading up to, one of the only storylines leading up to the Super Bowl this year is how people can't wait for Roger Goodell to hand the Lombardi Trophy to Tom Brady, right? Of course, everybody's all PR'd up and everybody's all, you know, it's okay, you know, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because Goodell suspended Brady for 4 games for allegedly deflating footballs. Even if Tom Brady will not discuss the Deflategate prior to the Super Bowl, his father, Tom Sr., has no problem speaking about it. And this is going to be an audio/interview courtesy of K-Ron 4, all the way out in San Francisco. Listen to this.
I think any parent can understand that, that they'd rather take the slings and arrows in the heart than have their kids
Tom Sr.
And for what the league did to him, or what Roger Goodell constantly lied about is beyond reprehensible as far as I'm concerned. He went on a witch hunt and got in way over his head and had to lie his way out numerous ways. And the reality is Tommy never got suspended for deflating footballs. He got suspended because the court said that Roger Goodell could do anything that he wanted to do to any player for any reason whatsoever. That's what happened. The NFL admitted they had no evidence on it. But it should be an honor because somebody that has Roger Goodell's ethics doesn't belong on any stage that Tom Brady is on.
Well, that was a hot take from Tom Sr., questioning Goodell's ethics, doesn't deserve to be on the same stage as Tom Brady Jr. Woo! However, this seems to be a common theme among all the Bradys. Not long ago, his wife, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, was doing Tom Jr.'s dirty work. This is 2012. And she had some choice words to say to the Patriots wide receivers. She was caught saying this, getting on an elevator after a game, for dropping Tom Brady's passes. It's a little hard to hear in the beginning, but you'll hear it pick up at the end. Here's Tom Brady's wife doing his dirty work in 2012. My husband can't throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time, is what she said, with a curse word in there for emphasis. So, it doesn't... Someone said classy. Yeah, real classy. So, I wouldn't put it past Tom Brady to have told her, his father and his relatives to, you know, give a little something to the media. So, if you're having a... Super Bowl party. Here are some home gating party ideas. Tips for having the winning Super Bowl party. Number one, finger foods. Everyone loves picking on wings, pigs in the blanket, bagel bites, nachos, chili, pizza, while watching two teams duel it out for the ring. Keep your guests focused on the game, but also full by serving finger foods throughout the entirety of the game. No one wants to sit down for a big meal and miss an important commercial, important part of the game, or an entire quarter. Or half. Two, decorate and get festive. Decorate your living room with football balloons, team-colored tablecloths, and even team-colored plastic cups and plastic plates. Got all them. Check, check, check. Everyone loves a Super Bowl party that makes them feel like they are part of the game. Surround sound does help. Someone just said Mike and Mike should contact me. Yeah, tweet them. I'm ready. Promote football attire. No matter if your team is in the Super Bowl or not, Jets fans. Stress the importance of coming dressed in the gear of your favorite NFL team. It's the one holiday/event of the year where football jerseys are appropriate for the occasion, no matter what the team. Take advantage of it. 4, provide plenty of seating for your guests. Nobody wants to keep yelling at one guest to sit down and move out of the way of the TV. And from a guest perspective, you always want that comfortable seat to relax and cheer from during the game. Make sure you account for all of your guests in attendance and set up extra folding chairs or tables to keep your guests comfortable. And that's how you have a winning Super Bowl party. Also, you should do some prop bets. You can just Google those. Those are prop bets. That's not. You could do the box squares as well, so you're paying attention. But you can also do prop bets that say, like, for example, one of ours last year was what color were Beyonce's shoes going to be on the halftime performance? And you had to guess. It was multiple choice. Or was Lady Gaga going to be wearing a weird outfit for the national anthem? Yes or no? And then at the end, you total the questions. Will the first commercial be for a car? Yes or no? And then whoever gets the most questions right at the end wins. And it's usually people bet, I don't know, my friends don't bet much money, but if you are a highfalutin lawyer or Wall Street dude, I'm sure you're betting a lot more than New Jersey public education teachers, I'll tell you that much. So someone said, you win a new car. No, Oprah is not going to be at my party. She is not giving out cars at my party or any of our parties for that matter. Next week, I'm going to look to have on, you've seen him on here before, Chris Villani. I'm going to reach out to him right after. Hopefully he's listening. That'd be cool. Chris, I'd love to have you on next week to talk X's and O's, Falcons, Patriots, really X's and O's. Let's really get into, it's going to be all football next Sunday, all Super Bowl talk. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Luke Bryan again, Lady Gaga, a couple commercials maybe we'll have leaked by that time. However, we are going to talk, you know, who's going to win this game, betting odds. Right now, I believe the Falcons are 3-point favorites. Someone just said, I hope the Patriots lose, that's all. God, no, Gaga or Luke. You missed this whole show. You must have missed the whole show. So next week, tune in. We have 11 o'clock Eastern time, that is. I will have everything you need to know about the Super Bowl next Sunday at 11 a.m. Okay, so if you can't wait until then, here's where you can find any or all of my stuff, www.prosportsrundown.com. That's my website. Twitter, at Coach MCCARTAN. YouTube, you go into the search bar, you type Coach space MCCARTAN. SoundCloud.com/Coach McCartan. On demand, this is going to go up as soon as I possibly can edit this. On demand, I'll be on iTunes. What you have to do is search the iTunes store for Coach space McCartan. Tune in radio, you're going to type in 60 space minute space overtime. And on play.google.com for you Android users, you're going to search Coach McCartan. Okay, so I want to say ciao to you guys on Periscope. You're great today. I got lots of hearts today and a proposition to join Mike and Mike. Sign me up. All right, so you guys can catch me next week, 11 a.m. Eastern time. All right, let me hit you with the end credits. See you guys next week. Ciao. Follow me on Twitter, at Coach McCartan. That's at Coach MCCARTAN. To find my work on YouTube and SoundCloud, search with no spaces, Coach McCartan. Subscribe yourself so you don't have trouble finding it in the future. That's it for today, everybody. Listen live next Sunday, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m.